Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
Okay, so I have Patty and Andy here with me today, and we're going to talk about bullshit.
We're
going to
talk about bullshit for sure.
How long have I known you, Patty?
Not
Andy the same amount of time, but I've known Patty for since I was under 21.
I think you were 19.
So that would be 10, 20, over 20 years.
Yeah, you were a little flip-flop wearing girl when you came in the office, and your cute little skirt and your flip-flops, and you showed up for a job interview.
And now we are grown with shoes on.
We definitely all have shoes on, but it's cold, so yeah.
Well, me and Patty used to, and Andy, we used to go to gun shows all the time and steal stuff. I think it can hear me.
But can we go back to the flip-flops for a minute? Because you remember you used to wear those to work and then complain about your feet being cold?
It's a
And I said
class slipper of the South.
If you wore proper footwear, your feet might not be cold. Did I buy you? No, I think it might have been Dale before you. I bought foot socks.
You didn't buy me any socks.
Well, because you were here.
Why are y'all talking like you're on NPR?
What? On what?
An NPR.
He is right. He is right.
Yes. You're like,
Tessie.
But you're talking very relaxing.
Very relaxing. ASMR. I talked about that. What's the difference? Are they for Trump?
I don't give a shit what anybody does. They just leave me the fuck alone.
I would be for Trump.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think a lot of people, even though they don't like Trump personally, were like, he's at least going in there and trying to blow up the normal political bullshit.
Yeah, I at least feel like he's for us. He's for Americans. America. Yeah, yeah.
When he says "Make America Great Again," and I had to have a whole conversation with my children about when was America great, and I was like, "Well,
before that."
That is a golden question, actually. What era do you think? I mean, like we were talking earlier, like you know, y'all grew up, I grew up. Nobody worried about us. I mean, like, you could go outside and you came home and the lights went off and your neighbor corrected you as if they were your own parent. Yeah.
Your friend's parents.
I mean, we had paddles in my school. Like, I think they didn't get rid of them until I was in third grade. Elementary school.
They slapped the shit out of you.
You had a nun?
Ruler. They take a fucking steel ruler, slap your ass across the knuckles.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't do that nowadays.
No.
No. Oh. You should be able to do that. Yeah. There's some kids that need the shit kicked out of them, to be honest.
I have to agree.
I do agree with that, although I do agree that there were a lot of very angry people who got into positions and took advantage of those positions and abused children.
Yeah. I mean, there's a tit for tat. It could be a situational basis, but I do think things would probably be better with the younger generation. Like, what did you say we are? We're Gen X. Y'all are Gen X. Okay, well, what am I? I'm borderline millennial.
You're a fucking millennial.
But I do think like a Gen X, right?
Yes.
More so than most millennials. I will grant you that.
Yes. So what is the Gen Z? Is that what age group is that? 30 and younger?
Yeah.
Ish?
No, yeah. Well, not even that old, to be fair. Millennials are like 81 to 2000. 2000 and lower is Gen Z.
Okay, got you.
Or 2000 and, yeah, later. Yeah.
Well, the Gen Z, you couldn't. I think we could. I think society could use some of that back into play, just like how I was saying. I mean, you could pay me to be a teacher.
Were people correct?
Yeah. They have feelings, and they think people care about
them. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't nobody give a fuck about your. The world don't care about your feelings.
He's not wrong.
I think that children have been given too much power in today's world.
Yeah. I can see what you're saying with that. I think some situations that could be in a sense of a little more, could be a little more sensitive taken. But for the most part, I don't know. I think teachers should be able to smack it with a ruler if they need to.
Yeah, I mean, and this has been coming for a long time. So like when Daniel was in sixth grade, so that's like, I don't know, at least 10 years ago, probably longer, 15, between 10 and 15. I agreed to proctor an exam for the middle school.
Okay?
And so I showed up and, you know, of course, you showed up for an exam. What did they tell you to bring when you were coming for an exam? Number two, pencils sharpened. Mm-hmm. You should get a good night's sleep and have a good breakfast.
Right? Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
That's the advice. So I show up and I'm like, okay, all right, I'm here. And the teacher's like, all right, who doesn't have a pencil? Raise your hand. And half the class raises their hand. I don't have a pencil. Okay, she's going to go around and hand out pencils. So I walk around, pencil, 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 pencil. I'm handing out pencils, okay? She's like, all right. The exam is about to start. Does anybody need anything? Does anybody still need pencils? Hands still go up.
Why wouldn't you be prepared?
Okay. Well, that's A. And B, I've already been through with pencils.
You're
so why
funny.
If you didn't have pencils, why didn't you say that the first time, right?
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah.
So I walked through and now pencils again. I'm like, pencil, well, pencil, 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 pencil. All right, the exam has started. Why aren't you working? I don't have a pencil. The teacher looked at me like you just looked at me. And I was like, yeah. I've been through here twice, handing out pencils. These stupid kids.
Can you say you want fries with that, motherfucker? And guess what? You ain't getting paid $15 a fucking hour ever in your fucking life because you're too stupid to make fucking money.
Well, at a certain point, the teacher actually had a water gun or a spray bottle, I don't remember which. But these kids are taking these exams, right? These very important number two pencil exams.
A water gun. What did we just talk about a few moments ago? The nuns who would take the narrow side of a steel ass ruler and smack your ass across the hands.
But there were kids that were during the middle of this exam putting their heads on their desk and going to sleep.
They're too stupid to freaking take the test.
You could have a water gun?
A water gun or a spray bottle. I don't remember. She had one or the other, but she was spraying them with water. Let's just say that.
So okay. We grew up. You did that crap? You were getting the narrow side of a steel roller that was about that thick knocked across your knuckles.
It was a wooden ruler.
Yeah, it had steel in it. Trust me, it had steel. If you had the side where you drew the line, it had steel in it.
Yeah.
But the one girl, she got sprayed with water, and the teacher was like, what time did you go to bed last night? She's like, I don't know.
Why? Because they can't read a clock.
And she was like, did you have breakfast this morning? No, I didn't have enough food. And it's like, I'm never volunteering to proctor again. Because I want to smack everybody in this room.
Yeah.
Teacher, kids, everybody.
You almost want to call their parents and be like, did you not? Like, what are y'all doing?
Oh, but you know, I actually was there at the middle school in the office when they have to have certain shots, right?
Yeah.
You can't continue in middle school unless you have these shots.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be kids sitting in the office every single day because they hadn't gotten their shots, okay? And the school, this is the why things are going so bad. The school was offering to drive them to the health department or a doctor's appointment, okay? And the parents still... Okay, and they would call them and they would say, you can't send them to school. They can't be here until they've had their shots.
Yeah.
And they would still put them on the bus every day because they didn't want them home. And I remember hearing the secretary go, all right, well, you need to tell Grandma, you need to tell his mom that he can't come to school until he's had those shots. And I was like, what kind of world is this that we're living in? That people are just putting their kids on the bus.
Yeah.
I mean, and we can go on a whole different tangent about vaccines, but at least at that point, those were vaccines that we knew.
Yeah.
Measles, rubella.
Oh, yeah, like the normal stuff. Not like the COVID shot. Yeah, yeah. Talk about like normal school stuff. I
mean, sixth grade back in the day, so it was just normal, regular, you know,
vaccine
or the shot. I'm going to say vaccination.
Yeah.
These days it sounds so COVID-y.
Yeah, no. That's crazy. I mean, I can understand you might have some situations where the parents aren't. You might have a single mom that hasn't been able to get it done yet or something that might be hindering a certain family from being able to get it done. That's a little different. But just in general, it's like, hello?
And
are you just speaking just to be, just to speak?
Like, the schools are actually offering to help
get
these kids.
And they still won't take advantage of it. Okay.
I mean, I saw kids in high school, I would show up to pick my kids up for a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment, and they'd be in the office because they needed their mom to come bring them a bottle of water.
What?
Yeah, like ridiculousness. They were in the office.
My mama would have whooped my daddy. Well, no, my mom was the one that would whoop your ass. My daddy was just scared of. But my mom would whoop my ass if we wasted a call. If we wasted her time while she was at work for a bottle of water. She told us, do not call me unless you were bleeding or dead.
Okay, so.
Yeah, or somebody's dead. Not me. Dead. Yeah.
Yeah, that was basically some advice I gave my kids. Didn't always listen, and you know, you were around for some of that. Driving home from the office, which was like 7 minutes away from the house, and I get a call, and hey, I called the police because Anthony hit me while I was skateboarding in the garage. Why? You're not supposed to skateboard in the garage. Well, I was skateboarding in the garage, and he told me I wasn't supposed to skateboard in the garage, so he hit me. And so I called the police and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go to jail. Children who've been alone for like 15 minutes exactly have called the police. But Daniel thought that was the answer for everything. I should stop saying his name.
He's funny though. He's a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah, your kids are funny.
Yeah. You just were talking about the time that he was curled up under your desk.
Yeah, yeah, you had him at work. Like,
is that the time he got suspended?
I don't remember why he was there. I know that you had him there, but I don't remember why. But I knew he was there. It's not funny, but it is funny.
Yeah. And you know what? So I come from the generation and all of that, and I understand how hard it is because.
Side note, me and Patty used to work together. Patty was my boss. Years and years and years and years ago for a real estate publication. And she was a single mom for the most, pretty much all of that time. I mean, you did date, but not, you know, whatever. So, you know, the kids had to come to the office. Sometimes because, you know, stuff happens or whatever. But I saw a video on TikTok of a mom that her young daughter was pissed off and she was leaving. She was running away from home. I don't remember how old this girl was in this video or whatever. Oh, God, yeah. She records her packing her stuff. You know, this girl's gung-ho. She's going to leave. She packs her little suitcase or whatever. She records her going down the street. And the girl probably gets maybe from here to the end of your driveway, like a quarter of a mile or half a mile down. She stops. He's there coming right on back home. It's like, what kid did not at one point in their life want to leave home? I mean, like, get missed off and want to leave, even though it wasn't
somebody
bad.
Somebody somewhere is going to treat me better than this.
Then you're like, oh, I take that back. Go back home.
Yeah. I get that. It's actually the entertainment.
But hold on. He doesn't have a Facebook because why?
Why does he have a Facebook? Because that's why Facebook rules were invented.
Every time I see somebody, there's this particular people on my friends list that'll post like somebody, like they got community guidelines, like their post got taken down, and the first person I think of is Andy. That would be Andy.
Yeah, Andy was on Facebook, and he liked to argue with everybody. It was back in the day before they would ban you.
FB jail.
I think my husband realized that there were deeper things that, you know, he wasn't so much worried about Facebook banning him. He was worried about offending.
Yeah.
Well, that's not actually true. He really doesn't generally worry about offending anybody.
I was fixing to say, he's pretty opinionated, but he's cool. He's not like, it's not like that. But I get on this conversation, this topic all the time with Facebook and social media and opinions and keyboards. It's like, I think some people just completely forget the fact they know that they're behind a screen and behind a keyboard. And so they say and do certain things that they necessarily wouldn't do in real life, which I think has changed a lot of the way people interact. It's probably affected the whole.
I saw something from Mike Tyson the other day.
Oh, God.
I don't know if it was really from him, but he said, y'all have gotten so used to throwing shade without being threatened with a punch in the mouth.
Yeah. Comfortable disrespecting people.
Yes. And that's what Facebook has done. People, oh my God, it's ridiculous. They have the stuff that people go after each other about. Okay? It's ridiculous. And it's like, A, why are you so serious about something? And B, are people not allowed to vent? I mean, I had one more day on the Facebook page for Mevin about the ridiculous internet situation that we have here.
And what do you mean? It's bad service?
Horrible. We only had a CenturyLink.
Oh.
And CenturyLink would go down, and then you'd call them. And, you know, if you're a smart person of a certain age and your internet goes out, you know the steps to take, right?
Control-Alt-Delete.
Well, that's your computer.
Yeah.
Mississippi. Plug it back in and cross your fingers and hope it comes back up. But then the fucking light is still not. It's blinking. It's the wrong color. And so then you're like, okay, I gotta call him. I don't want to call. And I have never told anybody. I'm in customer service. I've been in customer service for a long time. I've never spoken to anybody who I've spoken to the people at CenturyLink.
Oh, that shows some frustration.
I was like, I hate your service.
Dang.
And if I could deal with anybody else, if there was any other option, I would never have your service.
That speaks volumes for you, because you're very chill. Like, my whole life I've known you. The whole time I've known you, you're very chill.
And even if I start to lose it, I'll step back and go, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to take this out on you.
Yeah, but if you're paying for something, it's frustrating as hell. And it's probably a person you don't understand what they're saying. And it's probably like, give you the runaround.
Apologizing, okay? There's a certain set of people in another country that tell you how sorry they are. They give a lot of tech service or customer support for certain companies. I'm very sorry for the things that you are going through. As always, I'm very sorry. It's like, please stop fucking apologizing.
And fix it.
A, you're really not sorry. B, it's not your fault. So you're apologizing, and it's pissing me off even more. Because you're apologizing. I don't know why.
Yeah, fix it.
Of course, people who work for certain companies and apologize.
Oh, the freaking people on the phones who are like they're Indians and shit. I don't know, whatever. I'm sorry. You apologize to me one more time, I'm gonna find you and punch you in the fucking head.
But you also realize that certain people, there are certain people.
This is what they're trying to do.
Well, it's not just that. It's certain.
Well, you ever see, Full Metal Jacket? Was it Full Metal Jacket?
Where the soldier?
Or is jumping and they're like, the fucking gook smiling at me.
There are certain ethnicities where it's like smiling is nervous. It's a nervous response. Apologizing is another one. not looking people in the eye or laughing. I mean, a lot of people have that anyway, but.
Yeah, I've seen like nervous laughter and things of that nature. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But when you're mad.
Oh, yeah.
Laughing or smiling.
Yeah.
Why are
yeah.
you smiling? Do you think this is funny?
It's aggravating. Yeah.
I mean, when you're like really mad, that can send you into your full on rage.
Yeah. Yeah. And just think, we used to not have internet.
Yeah.
And now it's like you can't even live without it.
Oh my God. I was thinking
just think about that.
We used to work at,
Or even what me and you used to do. We advertising real estate was in a book. Pre-Zillow Trulia days.
Okay, I'm going to stand up for print. I've been involved in it for a long time, and I'm a book lover, and so actually having something in your hands,
yeah.
I still believe that there is...
No, but it's a story with a book, not...
Well, I mean, paging through stuff, magazine, or... House if you're... You know, I could still see like certain application, like if you're looking for a house, looking through a magazine, you know, when you're like at the airport or you're waiting somewhere. And
yeah.
That's why they were in convenient spots. I mean, we rent beach houses, or we used to before we got a camper. And so having, you know, a little book that showed all these fancy pictures of the house, like, let's look that one up.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
Whereas, like, you go on the internet, you have no guide. So I think the book
true
can be helpful.
Yeah.
To point you towards things.
Yeah. What's the difference between Gen Z's work ethic and millennials' work ethic? Gen X. Don't give him that. What did you say?
I will tell you this right now. When I was a young kid,
I'm not laughing.
Don't laugh.
No.
Now, so let's call it, I'm 12, 13 years old. You know, the middle of summer.
Now, how old are you now? Just like general area. We're trying
general
to put.
Area,
we're trying to put.
Me exactly how old.
How old are you?
You're being an ageist.
No, what? That's a big word.
Are you being an ageist?
Huh? What is that, Patty? Translate.
You better come back than that. No, I'm not.
Okay.
Whatever. I'm freaking.
Oh no!
51 years old.
All right. So you were. What year was it when you were 15?
80. Well, let's do some math.
70s.
No, I was born in the 70s.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I was born in the
70s. It was 80.
When I was 15?
Yeah, so.
1987.
There you go. Oh, okay.
Sarah graduated from high school.
Yeah, she's older than me.
I did not know this.
You're not going for cougars. You know that?
I totally thought you were older than her this whole time.
I pretty much always exclusively dated older women for whatever. We're not going to do that.
I can see that. Because Andy's a masculine male. He's not like, I can see that. That makes sense.
He's a dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to be older chick because I knew they knew what was up.
Yeah. Speaks a lot of Patty. Okay, so 1987.
Yeah.
What happened?
This happened before 1987.
Oh, well, you said you were 15, 13, 14.
Oh, this was before, well before it. This was well before that.
Okay, well, what happened?
Well, it was not what happened.
Cougar chaser.
Well, whatever. But guess what? My dad owned his own business, which was a catering business.
Oh, okay.
Which there was, well, my grandparents, well, let's back it up a half step. My grandparents owned a meat market and then turned it into like IGA food liners. Like,
yeah.
Food liners back in the days were like the freaking, you know, whatever. It's gone like stupid now. But
it was like a grocery store, like a convenience store?
A large grocery store.
Oh, okay, cool.
It went from a, like a, you know, 1950s grocery store to the freaking 1970s, 80s grocery store, or yeah, whatever. But, so.
Now you can order food online.
Yeah.
From Amazon. Online, right? Crazy, huh?
Whatever. So, as a young kid, my dad ran one of these stores. So, you know, Saturday and Sunday, guess what? When I wasn't in school, it'd be like, get up.
Gotta work.
Yeah, well, not only do you have to work, you had to go to 6:30 mass.
Oh.
Yeah, like this is like 5:30 in the morning. Get up. We're going to go to church. We're going to go to mass. And then we're going to go to work. And we're going to be there by 7.
Oh, wow.
Or whatever the hell it was. Or anyway. It's just the way it was.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember, you know, working as a kid, you know, as I got older, you know, older than that, it was, he owned a catering business. So it was like, okay, we're good. We'll wash dishes, right? So you go and you wash dishes. And okay, you say, well, I'm getting toward the bottom of it.
They'll bring some more.
No, it wouldn't bring some more. It's like the other truck just pulled in and you open the truck and it's a fucking 26-foot box van full of fucking dishes. And then I'd be like, oh, you're hungry? Here. Here's $5. Go get some lunch and then come back and, you know, work the rest of the damn day.
Work kids like grown people back then.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
If your parents owned a business,
yeah, it was free labor. I mean,
it wasn't free. I mean, he paid me for it, but
yeah,
I worked my ass off for it.
Yeah, no. I mean, we were working on the weekends. Me and my sister, my daddy had us out working. We didn't necessarily get paid for it, but we were told to work. We were paid in the sense of having a horse and being able to do that. You know, that was the payment.
I got paid a little bit of walking around money, which wasn't shit.
Yeah.
You know, I got my first job when I was like 14 or 15.
Yeah.
I was a janitor. That's the best job in the world. If you're a young kid, you should be a janitor in the school.
Yeah. Janitorial arts.
Janitorial arts. I clean more toilets and mess y'all motherfuckers out there, just so you know. And I ain't cleaned a toilet in a long time, and my wife will attest to that. But I will say this.
Ain't nothing wrong with being a janitor. I don't get that. To me, I think every job is important.
I was a janitor.
You need the janitor just like you need the CEO. You need all of them.
Catholic school, which was attached to a Catholic church. Growing up, and when I, you know, got into high school, when I got to be 15 years old or so, I got the job, and it was like, it was a great job. It was Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
So, no weekends, no, not fucking McDonald's for shit where your friends are coming through the drive-thru and fucking...
Can I get a 20 nugget?
...off and trying to get free food from your ass, but,
you know. But you went to school, too. You went to school full-time and worked basically full-time.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much,
yeah.
Always was.
Yeah. Now my mom was like that. My mom worked, went to school full time and worked.
I mean, even for college,
a shift at Unify.
I mean, I worked at a convenience store, but I'm, you know, when I was in high school, it's like, oh, my friends are like, I got a job at McDonald's. I got a job at Taco Bell. It's like, y'all are fucking idiots. You're working Saturdays and fucking Sundays and shit. I'm fucking off.
Unless you want to steal a beer from me.
Well.
Oh, the cougar told
me. Well, I will say this. Catholic priests like to drink beer.
No way.
They do.
They like to drink.
They do. They like to drink.
I did not know this. I don't know anything about Catholics.
Here's what I will tell you.
What is Mass, by the way? What is Mass?
Church.
It's church.
You just go, it's a service. Oh, okay.
It's not the whole
thing. They call it Mass.
Oh.
Whatever. It's a whole other thing.
Because I remember you used to go when we worked together.
After I was there a year or so, well, I know I was 16 because I had a car at the time. Because you had to drive up, way up the parking lot, and it was like, on Fridays, you had to go below the rectory where the priests live, which was, you know, like a big complex or whatever, and there would be like trash down at the bottom, right? I mean, they had, you know, their kitchen trash and everything, they put it down in the basement.
So can y'all do bread and the wine?
Well, no. Yeah. But you have to take the trash at this point. I'm the janitor. You have to take the trash from the basement of the rectory to the dumpster, which is way the F over there.
Yeah.
So I took it. Took me a few times. I'm looking at it. And down in the basement, They had like cases of beer stacked up about as tall as I was, and I ain't short, motherfucker.
At a church.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, of course they. I mean,
my mind's blown. I never thought they would have beer at a church.
Oh shit! Yeah. God, good God, they had a liquor. They probably had a liquor cabinet that was fucking insane that I couldn't have access to, but I had access to the beer.
Well, he turned water into wine. So.
So I got looking at it. I'm like, I got a fucking trash bag. And there's beer, case of. Trash bag in a case of beer. I was a fucking legend. Because every Friday, I mean, this is Friday.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Friday, I'm in high school. I throw a case of beer in the fucking bag and I'm huffing it out to my car, dragging it in the trash bag. Don't want nobody to look at shit. I drive it down to the thing, throw everything out, but the bag that has the case of beer in it, and I'd sell the goddamn 112 pack and drink the other 12 pack myself.
Sounds like a hustler to me.
Like, this gives Catholics a bad name, right?
It was. No, I mean, maybe. Now, if I see a Catholic church, I'm going to go, y'all got any Coors down there? Capitalist?
Capitalist.
Isn't that like capitalism? Like the art of like the whole objective?
Making money.
Making money. How can you not? I agree with you, obviously. I'm very much like that. Why would you not be that mind frame? Like, you have people out there that...
Because you are incompetent and make money, so that you think that everybody should have the same thing offered to you.
Entitlement, I guess. Entitlement.
Those who can't fucking do want fucking socialism.
Socialism is a big problem right now.
What? Explain this. Explain socialism to me. I get capitalism, but what is socialism?
Socialism means that everything that you make needs to be shared with everybody else.
No.
Fuck that.
Yeah, shit. No. You know what? I'm glad you said that, because it's kind of like if I know, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I can check the groups that are growing.
Like, to me, if I make X amount of money, why in the should I give it to you? And on the contrary, if you make X amount of money, I would not expect you to give me that. I would want to make it on my own.
So, I do believe there's a certain amount of charity that should be involved in life, right?
Well, yeah.
For people who are in a hard situation that is not of their own doing. I grew up on welfare, so...
Sure, my battery is dead.
You know, I grew up on welfare, and so I understand that some black people need help.
Yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
I also see people who take advantage of this. I mean,
well, and then the whole government. Remember me? We're going to go off into another thing about my sister and getting help and all that stuff, and how the government basically jerked. It went from, okay, we're going to help you out this amount. Okay, so she was like, I'm making more money. I'm going to try to come off of it.
No.
They jerked it all.
Yes.
So how is... So how is... I don't. So, but it's like, okay, the government basically said, no, we want to keep you on it instead of helping you ease...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You make X amount of
money
that I just said, but...
yeah.
Anyway, she came and worked. So this is, again, a going back story.
Yeah.
She came and worked. Bray and I had been working together for a long time before that. And she showed up. And not long after she showed up, she was sitting at work and just crying.
She was probably there 2 to 3 years. Then I left. I'd say that's about right-ish. Yeah.
But we were still upstairs. Remember this? We were upstairs. And at a certain
point, yes,
we're sitting desk to desk. You came in and you're like, oh, she's crying. I don't understand what's going on. She's just crying. And I took her to lunch at Sagebrush.
That was a good Sagebrush.
Yeah, still there.
Really?
Yeah, it's still there. It's part of honor. I took her to lunch and I was like, so what's going on? And she broke down in tears. And her husband was a fireman. And I have two brothers who were firemen.
But he was hurt too. Like he had a problem.
He had a physical situation where his bones were fusing.
Yeah.
Together, okay. Yeah. She had two little boys. And so I come from the fire department from New York, okay, to be fair.
Yeah.
So she started talking about his physical problems and this and that, and how the sheriff had come and posted foreclosure notice on their door. Her father had previously been sheriff in Denver County, I believe.
Oh, I don't know any of this part.
Yes, her father was a policeman.
Okay, yeah. Sheriff. Okay, that's ringing a bell, yeah.
And so she's crying, and she's like, they posted a foreclosure notice on the door today, and the part of me, like, you know, that I was like, well, what do you need? I mean, that was like immediate. It was like, what do you need?
Yeah.
What do you need to get out of this, okay? And she told me how much, I forget, it was like $2,000.
Yeah.
At most.
That's what I was fixed to say. I remember this.
And I had a meeting. You were involved with a couple of other people, a few of my friends, Brianna and Mary and Sheila.
Yeah, because I don't think Kelly did it, did she?
No.
Yeah.
And we sat and we talked about it.
Because Patty's very empathetic. Patty's very giving.
Thank you. But it was also like, this is ridiculous. You have two little kids. Your husband's a fireman. And I said to her, I was like, why aren't his brothers helping? Because from what I understand from my brothers who are firemen.
Like a fundraiser or something.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they do in New York. They will have a cookout and sell t-shirts. And
yeah.
Then they'll give you an envelope full of money.
Yeah.
And my brother George had cancer and he couldn't work. He was on disability. He was getting money. But the firemen still all put in money because they knew he wasn't getting full pay.
So yeah.
Every week, they'd be like, hey, what do you got? And so he'd show up and they'd hand him a fat envelope. You know?
Faith in humanity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you volunteer to do something that helps other people, then people should help you.
Yeah.
I think. So that's why I was like, okay, what do you need? And so we had a little meeting and I had a conversation with my mom. And my mother was like, I don't think you should do this. And I was like, Mom, I feel compelled. I was a single mother at the time. I didn't have a whole lot of money to help this person. But I was like, I feel compelled. And she's like, Patty, you know.
I told you there was something about her, too.
She was like, the first time she goes out and buys lunch after you give her this money, you're going to be mad.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's right.
And this and that. And I was like, I still feel like I'm compelled. But I remember going back to you and to other people and saying, okay, so you need to understand that if you volunteer this money, even though Dana says she's going to repay it, we need to just kiss this money goodbye.
Right.
And I basically repeated what my mother said to me is, you're going to be pissed off when she goes out and buys lunch or buys a soda or whatever. My mother was right. But
she bought a necklace, though.
She bought me a necklace. I still have it.
Yeah. Instead of paying you.
I hate necklace.
Yeah. It's like, to me, I would be like, okay.
So you bought me a necklace?
But not pay me back my fucking money? I think every person would think that.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, that's pretty, okay.
Yeah. And so, not a lot. And he had conditions on it. And he was very worried about it. But
I remember him. He played golf a lot.
He didn't come to work a lot. That was really what it was. But, so, raised most of the money, gave it to her. And then, you know, I mean, we could do all podcasts just on her and the situation.
Yeah.
It's not where we are tonight.
No, that's not where we are. We're at Ribs and Cougars.
We're at Ribs and Hampton Castle and
Capitalism.
Maybe you should have been involved earlier though when you and I were talking.
But hold on. But basically, you helped donate. I mean, she got this money and she helped save her house. And she
got the money she got to save.
Did she ever pay back anything? Mm-hmm. Actually, I didn't think so. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Sometimes those acts are good fortunes in the universe. So when you do something like that and somebody does you bad, they actually sign up a good karma for you because something's going to come back for you in good terms. Maybe not from that, but
So there was a country music star that sang a song that it was, I believe, there was Angels Among Us.
Who was that? Who sang Angels Among Us? Not Brooks and Dumb. No. Angels. Alabama something?
Oh, that sounds good.
Diamond Rio. Oh. Angels Among Us.
But I mean, it's like when you
Alabama. Diamond Rio and Alabama are one of the kind of same.
Just saying, like, you think Brooks and Dunn in Alabama are in Alabama?
No.
Yeah, no.
I believe there's angels among us and this and that, you know, so. And I certainly believe that at certain points, that sometimes you're compelled to do things.
Yeah.
I think the world is making that a lot harder these days.
Yeah, I think I feel more tested in life since I've turned 35 to 36 than I did before.
I do too. You know what? Since I turned 30, I feel pretty fucking tested.
Oh, God.
What do you feel tested about?
Yeah, what do you feel testy about?
I turned 36 in freaking, what the fuck, 2011?
At some point in his life, he turned 36. Prior to 50. He went from 35 to 37.
Well, we got married at 36. That was
2008. Oh. Boom. But you were younger and she is older.
She was damn near 40.
Hey. Hey now. I'll never forget that. When I turned 30, you told me, oh, 30s are going to be the best years of your life. You were right. I don't feel different at 40, but I do feel like 30 was... 30s are good years, man.
Yeah, you stop worrying about so much shit.
Definitely. From what I thought about things in my 20s to my 30s are two completely different. It's like in your 20s, you almost feel like you need to please everybody else. You worry about what everybody else thinks. And then when you hit 30, it's more like, yeah, yeah. And then 40, it's even more like a double fuck it.
You know what I did on the weekend? My
50th
birthday.
What? Stop it.
I went to my first car party.
Well, I've never done one either, but you waited till 50.
Well, you know, I got to this point, so somebody, and this is the advice I give the kids now, is like, stop not doing things.
Yeah.
Because you'll regret the things that you don't do.
Yeah, yeah.
Much more than you will the things that you do.
Well, you're the one that taught me the whole it's better to ask and get a no than to not ask at all.
Aww.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Because
it's very true, and you're right what you just said. I mean, it's better to do it than to wish you have done it.
And so this is me.
Not with all things. I don't mean like robbing a store or anything.
In 2019, I turned...
That's Patty doing a keg stand on video.
That's dope.
Well, there's actually a better one.
Oh. Is that the second one?
Yeah.
Is it much different? Like, what's the difference? What do you feel? What's the difference?
Between the first one?
She's a champ. I knew she would handle that because we were doing Crown in the pool in Gay Vegas.
Josh, not making a face. Not making a face. So come on.
Bill and David, you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she made the whiskey face. Like, okay, so?
No, what was funny was it was Michael's, after his last game as a senior in football college.
Michael's our youngest child between us.
So, that was 2019.
Grace is older than Michael?
Oh, yeah.
She's the oldest out of all
four. She's the oldest out of all four.
Really? I thought it was... Anthony, Grace, Daniel.
Daniel, Michael.
No way.
Yeah.
Andy's got two kids and Patty's got two kids. So
I went to my first college party at the time before my 50th birthday. It was like, I think the weekend.
It was the day before.
Well, you didn't go to college, right? But you kind of got married a little young, right?
19.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so you were kind of settled down doing that part of life. Kind of early, so that's kind of why.
And so
it's cool that you got to do this.
We went to this party and they were trying to get all the parents to do kids' things. And I was like, well, I don't want to let you down, Michael. So
yeah. Yeah.
So I did. I did the first one and then Andy did his. I did mine
first. You did one too?
I did mine first.
Yeah, but it wasn't my first. To be fair.
That's cool.
And then there was some guy that was there and I was like, did you do your keg stand? He's like, no. And I was like, you gotta do it. You gotta do a keg stand. And he's like, if I do one, will you do another one? And I was like, I already did mine. But if I do, will you do another one? And I was like, okay. If you do one, at that point I was like, he's not gonna do one.
Yeah. No one mom.
No, it was Bob's ex-wife's boyfriend, I believe.
Oh, so there was hope. Yeah.
No, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. Yeah.
And so he went and did a keg stand, and he's like, all right, it's your turn. And I was like, all right. But I was smart enough to get the guy. Here's the thing you have to learn about keg stands, okay? The guy that's on the gun that's shooting the bear in your mouth.
Yeah.
To make sure he's trustworthy.
Oh.
And they have a good signal because the first time I did it, he said, just shake your head when you're done, right?
Oh, they can need to turn it off for you because they don't, you'll have beer go everywhere.
Yes, they'll keep shooting beer up in your face.
Oh, yeah. Because you got two other people holding you up.
Yes.
It's got to be a teamwork effort.
It's a team effort. So I had Michael holding me up with one of his friends and the guy on the gun. And so when I was like, all right, I got to go again, go get, because he was not the guy on the gun at that point.
Yeah.
I was like, go get him, because I don't know who this dude is.
And I don't blame
so
you.
Shoot beer up my nose. And that's not good.
No. I don't blame you at all.
Yeah.
So I have never done a keg stand, ever. I have picked
been
some.
To a college park?
No.
Oh. So there's still hope.
There's still hope.
I went to my first college party.
I'm just go down to Franklin Street, see if I can't find one. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, if you want to go,
okay. But Michael's out of college. I have no hope.
Well, we could find somebody. I go to yoga in Elon, and there's a lot of, those are college people.
Ma'am, can we just come to one of your parties? I just need experience.
Hey,
a keg stand.
Is anybody here going to have a keg into keg stand tonight? Because I have a friend that needs
Okay. It's my bucket list. Can we please make this happen?
So that was the thing.
How old are you? 40.
So I was turning 50 and I was like, so from now on, like, if I think I want to do it, I'm going to do it. That's why my nose is pierced, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I always saw a cute, tiny little stuff in the nose. It's cute.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's ridiculous. You're 50. Why are you getting your nose pierced? So it's like, who cares?
You know what? Screw the age thing. Because I feel like I let that get to me a little bit. Because if you start thinking about it, you're like, you'll start thinking about society standards for that age. Okay. Like, okay, well, you're 40 now. You can't wear that. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I got this picture saved of these three old ladies. When I say old, they're more like 80, 85 to 90. And they're covered in tattoos. And I go, goals.
Have you seen that commercial, that makeup commercial of the lady? She's a silver fox, short silver hair. And she's in the bathroom putting like makeup on, and she goes, they'd say at a certain point you stop caring. I wonder what point that is.
Yeah.
And she's got like this asymmetrical shirt on, and she's like the silver fox. And like,
yeah. Hell yeah. Well, I have to, I mean, like, you know, because people, you're going to have people that are going to sit there and go, okay, well, you can't do this if you're a mom, or you can't do this if you're this years
if
old, or if you're this or you're that. Why not? Like, so, but I have found since I have turned 40, 39, 40, I've caught my brain kind of going into the hole of, okay, well, no, maybe you shouldn't do that. And then I'm like, no, yeah, hell yeah, I can. Like, why not?
Yeah, do it if you want to do it. So this is supposed to be a podcast about
it. It's all about me.
No, it's all about it.
Yeah, Cougar Chaser. I did not know this. Anyways, I read it and I was, at first I was like, whoa, don't send me that. It's bad vibes, dude. And then I read it and I was like, this is right, man. You can't. Got to try to stay young, at least in mine.
It's actually really good. And I actually saw something today and I was like, that's not good. Clint Eastwood, you know, Clint Eastwood is like 90. I zoomed in. I was like, oh, that grizzly old man is actually Clint Eastwood. And good for him. And,
yeah.
You know, I guess those are the things we need to tell ourselves. Is we spent a lot of time, and then we can go back and do all of that, you know, things we're supposed to do, right? We spent a lot of time where people are saying, you shouldn't do that. But at what point do you go, yeah, but I want it?
I mean, there's not a rule book to this. I mean, like, general rules, like, you know, what would you tell me one time? If it makes you happy and it's not hurting nobody else, do it. I mean, that's really the basics of most decision making. Like, okay, you're not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
And it makes you happy. Who cares?
Yeah.
But it's easy to get caught up in what other people think and society and all that kind of, it's easy to, but, you know, I mean.
And here's the other thing. So, like, I hit that age and I got my nose pierced and did a kickstand and then COVID happened. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to take a kiteboarding lesson. Like,
oh, what? Beach, you know? Oh, yeah. Kite? Like a kite? Like a kite you fly kite?
Well, no, it's like a giant, it's almost like a parachute and you're like surfing with like a kite.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, I'm going to take a kiteboarding lesson and Andy and Sharon were like, really? And I was like, you don't know, I can be the kiteboarding champ.
You don't know. I could be an artist. Hell yeah, you could be.
I could be.
You don't know if you don't try.
Right? And so.
Was this a disaster? Huh? Was this a disaster or what you do?
I signed up and I was like, oh, the ways we try to talk ourselves out of things, right?
Yeah, true.
And so I showed up, and the weather wasn't great that day. I was like, are they going to cancel? And then there's this whole battle that goes on inside you. You're like, I kind of want them to cancel, but I don't want
yeah.
to cancel.
Yeah.
I want to do this. And so she's like, well, we're not going to do it right here. There's a place there with the other banks called.
You were one on one, right? It wasn't a group.
No. Not a group.
Yeah, I definitely would have talked myself out of it if it was a group in my first time.
So I've got my instructor, and first she brings me out like this vest, and the first one she brought out, I couldn't even step on. And then you start to feel bad about her physically. So then we go, and I get on the back of the jet ski with her, and she's got all this, she's cute little girl. She taught Ricky Martin to be down in somewhere down there.
Hold on. Ricky Martin, was he a singer?
Yes. She bangs.
Okay. I do now. I left my memory, I mean, but it came back.
I love Ricky Martin. I know he's gay. It's one of those. Like,
all good looking guys are either gay or taken.
God.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Not all of them, but for the most part, I've felt that before. Like, damn, he's good looking. What?
He's gay.
No way.
I can understand that. That happens sometimes. You're like, damn.
No wonder I didn't get a call back. I'm just kidding. Okay, so you're with the instructor. Yeah, so, okay.
Then she's like, all right, so, the weather's not great right here and the wind and whatever, so we're going to go on the jet ski and we're going to go. And she basically takes us like a couple miles back up in the sound, past the house we were staying at, honestly. I was like, well, he drove down here to watch me and he couldn't have stayed at the house and probably seen me, but thank God he didn't, because I'm going to tell you, kiteboarding, this shit is hard, okay?
I can imagine, like, surfing's hard.
Yeah, I didn't even, I will admit, I didn't get on the board. Okay? So, you've got this giant, it's basically a fucking parachute. They call it kite.
Yeah.
But it's not a kite. Benjamin Franklin flew a kite. This is like a fucking parachute that you're putting up in the air. Okay?
Is it attached to the board or no?
No, it's attached to your body.
Oh. Can it lift you? Dog.
Dovey, come on. We're talking about kiteboarding. Mm-hmm.
did you successfully complete the lesson?
So you get the up there, okay? And so they talk about the wind window. And so at a certain point, very windy up in the sky, just in case you didn't know that. It's very windy up there. It's windy down, especially down. Okay, because that's where the Wright brothers flew the plane for the first time. But you get the kite up there, and you're like, okay, got it. Okay, and she's like, control it, right? So this is the first lesson, control it. Now make it go to like 10 o'clock, make it go to 2 o'clock, still control it, don't let it drag you. Okay.
Yeah, right? I can imagine, I can see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're controlling it. And then she's like, all right. She's like, now let it drag you. And I was like, wait, what? If somebody is a control person, I just learned how to, she's like, let it drag you.
Okay.
And, you know, everything in my body is like trying to stand up.
Yeah. It's probably hard.
Yeah. It's hard. My brain doesn't shift that quickly.
And then keep your balance at the same time on a board.
People who are athletic, which I'm not, shocking. people who are athletic,
I'm not either.
Can change their mind quickly. You learn, you know, it's like, Andy probably could do this very well. You learn that here's the power of the wind, and if you put it over here, yeah, it'll take you this way. If you put it over here, my brain is just like, okay, I did that, and I did that, and I'm still standing, and now you want me to let it drag me? And then she's like, all right, do you want to get on the board? And I was like, no.
It's got to go lay on the beach now.
No. I feel accomplished that I took this lesson.
Yeah.
That I showed up and I actually did it. I can only feel like the board would have been an absolute failure.
But at least you did it. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's me.
And so he bought me a practice kite.
Yeah.
And so I, you know.
That's cool.
I would like to still do that. Nobody else has done it, so they can say whatever they want.
You did.
I took the lesson, and I realized the wind is really strong. Okay, the wind is really strong.
We should get Andy on guns. Are you on TikTok?
I'm not on TikTok because I'm very Chinese spy.
Do you really think it's a Chinese spy? I'm serious.
I think it is.
You really
now,
do?
Yeah, now that America owns it, apparently it sucks, right? That's what they said. That's what I hear.
It was not as good. I will say it has a different vibe now than when I first started using it, which was, I've probably been using it at least 2 years-ish, maybe, I would think.
I mean, I've seen things.
What do you mean America owns it now?
So America stopped China from having TikTok in America, is what I understand.
Oh, I need to look this up.
Yeah. That's what I understand.
Huh.
It's, you know, we're very, we've become a very share everything about my life kind of people.
True.
On social media.
Yeah.
We'll tell you about our colonoscopies.
Which colonoscopies don't hurt as bad as people make them out to be. Yeah, I do not know this.
Gay either.
What?
My son's had a conversation with one of their friends who was like, if you have a colonoscopy, it might make you gay.
That's like, what? That's crazy.
So naive. We're still dating and we went to his friend's 30th birthday party, which I was not 30 when we met, just so you know. Neither was he. And we went to his friend's party and I was like, how old is he? He's like 30. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to a 30-year-old's party. I feel old. But anyway.
That's like, how you felt at my 21st.
Yeah. But at least I understood how old you were.
Right? True. True.
So we went to this party and there was a lot of drinking and there was his mother gave him a bong for his 30th birthday, which they frowned upon.
No way.
That I frowned upon
her? No, that she gave him a bong. She must smoke it herself. Oh.
And I'm not a good pot smoker. I'll just say that. I'm really never happen.
I'm not either. I mean, like, don't, you know, don't, it's okay. It's not, like, I don't think there's.
Some people are like, it's like, I don't frown upon you smoking pot. It's just not for me.
I don't think there's levels there. Well, there could be levels to it. You could have, you know, entry level, mid level, experienced weed smokers.
I'm very paranoid.
Oh, yeah.
Very, and I get very thoughtful. And it could be bad.
I feel Delilah vibes.
It could be very bad pot smoking with me. And I never, when I was younger, it was like, I certainly don't want to do that with anybody I like, because then I'll start thinking about it. And then I'm not going to like you after that.
Yeah.
If I really get deep thought, and I'd be like, your forehead is really bad. God. I had a friend. Wait, so I'm going to go back. I had a friend. High school,
but it would be good for medical purposes, like we were talking earlier. You know, yeah.
And you know, I got no problem with anybody that enjoys it and doesn't get hurt.
Right.
I had a friend though back in high school, and back in the day, there was a cartoon with a hippo, and it was like Hurricane Hippo or whatever, and he would like.
I'm totally googling this.
He would bellow into like this balloon, hot air balloon, and they would fly away. But when we were stoned one time, they told her she looked like,
oh my god,
it's not a good way to go with your friend. But you know,
so now you're a little more cautious
about,
I can understand that, yeah, about a smoking pot around your friends or either or.
Yeah.
I don't even think people read the newspaper much. I think that's declined.
Newspapers, yeah.
I think, I mean, like, I remember growing up, my dad, there was the Sunday newspaper, and then you had the weekly newspaper. Yeah, and they have all of that stuff. That was how you got the news. And now, listen, I can't believe I just said that. I grew up in the way that they got the news through a newspaper, and now you just hop on Facebook, and that's where you get your news.
Well, it's not literally. You hop on your internet browser, and this is actually a bad thing, and this is why, because we have so little attention span. Onto internet, I want to say Internet Explorer, but that's going to Edge.
Yeah.
And there's all these little stories with little headlines, right?
Yeah.
And so you read the headline, and you're like, did you hear Trump fuck his mother up the ass? I mean, it's just like,
you can't necessarily believe everything you see.
But and even if you click on them and read like 5 seconds of the story, unless you get through it, there's no truth to it. There's no nothing. And you're like, oh, yeah, Israel is this, and Lady Gaga this, and Taylor Swift, and all of. It's just little snippets, which, well, I don't want to say to anybody. Most people don't go deeper than that little blurb.